Okay, question two. Who are you? What are you? Is your feeling really you? Is your perception really you? Are your thoughts and your thinking really you? Are your sense consciousness really you? We have dealt with all these, have we not? Are they really you, your feeling, etc.? All those feelings you have experienced while living your life, are they really you? Not you. Why? Why do you say it's not you? You have to develop your own understanding. Do not just say it because I told you so. What I have told you is very true because it can be understood. Means you can realize the understanding. It is just an inquiry within. So when you inquire within, then you will get the answer. That's why when you are in the meditation retreat, you have the contemplative mind that enables you to contemplate into the truth. Realization can come about. Wisdom can arise. It is exactly what I am trying to ask you to do. Do not take the answer for what it is, just because the Buddha proclaimed it or I say it. When he said dukkha is this, this and this, do not just believe and do not just say, oh, I already know that life is suffering. Then you never learn unless your parami is very strong, like some of those famous monks during the time of the Buddha. That is to say, upon hearing the sutta, they become enlightened. But if you do not have such kind of parami, if your past is not that strong to support you, then try to develop your own understanding. This is important because you may have to ask, why is this feeling not me? Because when I feel something, it appears so real. When there is pain, it is so real. But because it comes and goes, that's the reason why it's not you or not so real. And because when I have this pain, after a while, the pain disappears and I did not die. That's the reason why pain is not you. Feeling is not you. Feeling come and go. You didn't die. Pain arise and pass away. You didn't die. Then another feeling arise. A more pleasant feeling may arise. And another, maybe more pleasant feeling may also arise. And because I do not die, it clearly shows that this feeling is not me. So the same goes for perception. If one moment I perceive something, the next moment I perceive another thing. For example, the TV, the car, or whatever. Every time perception changes, did I die? I did not die. Likewise, our thinking, every thought that arises and pass away, you never die. Thought come and go, consciousness come and go, your hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thinking, they come and go. So if they are not you, then how do they arise in you? Then who are you? What are you? How come the five aggregates of form and mind continuously arise in me if they are not me? I have been trying to make you all understand this true explanation with analogy that are as simple as I can think of. The purpose of asking all these questions is to help you develop the inquiry mind. If it's not you, then what is it? Then how come it arises together with all five aggregates of form and mind? How come it's always there? At the beginning of my sharing or Dhamma talk, I said that you will learn to see how form and mind arise in you, how thoughts and feelings arise in you with every moment of sense experience or sense or consciousness, and how they condition you into further thinking, further reaction, and how your mind stir and react to sense experience. So all this, you will see them, especially your thoughts, how they condition your feelings first. And in turn, your feeling condition further wrong thought. If you are not mindful and you have not developed the wisdom, the initial wisdom, yonisok manasikara, to enable you to detach by accepting them for what they are, clinging or attachment will arise, and dukkha is going to be the end result. I will give you all a hint on how to understand the five aggregates of form and mind clearly. Feeling is not you, because feeling changed and you did not die. All the aggregates of mind changes and you also didn't die. So what can they be? It is something that follows you and is not you, then what can it be? So that is the hint. You go and reflect on it and contemplate on it. Then I think somebody gave the answer, which is quite good. He answered, it's just a phenomena. That is one of the answer, and it's quite close. Because phenomena is condition arising. Is that not the case? Sense consciousness is also condition arising. There is the mind. There is the sense data. And there is a sense organ. Upon contact, the respective sense door consciousness arises. So it is condition arising. What does it mean? It means it's born of nature's creation, following nature's law. Is that not so? When the condition comes together, it arises. If it's born of condition, and it only arises when condition comes together, then it is not a permanent, unchanging entity. That is why it is not you, for it comes and it goes. If you look clearly into this and your nature, there is another aspect within you, listen to this, that has nothing to do with all this phenomena, but is responsible for the arising, for the creation of all this. That is you have to find out what that thing is. Yeah. I have already explained that one. And all of meditation is to realize that. So this one is something you have to realize through your meditation. There is another aspect of mind that is beyond these five aggregates of form and mind within your nature that is responsible for the arising of all this. So I have given hint until there, you still cannot follow. Huh? Yes, karmic nature is one of them, because a lot are caused by karmic past and karmic activity, and they can cause many things to arise. That is the karmic nature within us. We will deal with that later, because that part is more abstract and is very different. What I can tell you is that all these are byproduct of that nature. Actually, it's your true mind, your true nature. All these are created by the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the one that creates all the delusion of form and mind and phenomena. Delusion is ignorant. Mahayana Buddhists have a very good analogy to explain this. They give the analogy of an innkeeper. If you are the owner of the inn, you will take care of the inn. You are always there. So your true mind, your awareness is always there, your awareness nature. Whereas the guests that come and stay, they will come and go. Let us say this hotel has 6 rooms. And every time there is a tenant or someone coming to stay, they will occupy one of these rooms. These rooms are equivalent to your 6 sense door. All these guests come and go because they are not the owner. They are only there to stay for a while or a night. But upon contact, the sense door consciousness arises quickly. They do not even stay overnight or in a split second. They may be gone. They come and they go. And because of that, they are the byproduct of your true mind. They are not your true mind. Because all these are dependent, originating, arising due to causes and conditions. And there must be the sense data, sense organ, and the consciousness or the mind, the three conditions required for them to arise. That's why they are called phenomena, dependent originating condition arising, causal phenomena. What happens if the sense data cease to be? When you switch off all the vibration, the power, the current, all this sound, echo sound, vibration, my voice, is there any more hearing? No, no more. There is no more hearing consciousness. That hearing consciousness is no more, but what is it that is aware of that cessation of the hearing consciousness? It is the essence of mind, right? There actually is only one mind, but because of the six sense organ and the six internal sense data and six external sense data, the six type of corresponding sense consciousness come to be. 6 + 6 + 6 gave rise to the 18 sense drive and created the world and the universe. But there are one aspect within you. Sorry, there is one aspect within you that exists no matter whether there is sense organ, sense data or not. Whether there is anything coming or going, it is always there. It is that which can give rise to sati or mindfulness, the awareness nature. It is the mindfulness that enable you to aware. It is before the perception. Perception is creation already, coming out of it already. It is already the mundane mind. But that nature within you, which is just aware of the arising or non-arising of the sense or consciousness of hearing or sound, is a totally different nature within you. It is also anatta. It is also not you, but it does not depend on anything. That's why without condition, it is aware. Aware of silence. Silence is without condition. So this aspect, if you meditate, you will develop the understanding. But when you develop your training, your cultivation to a level where your mindfulness can be very stable and your wisdom starts to arise, and where your penetrative wisdom or penetration of truth reaches a certain level, your thinking will naturally become less and less. But it is just like what the Buddha said. It is avijja that creates sankhara, or ignorance that creates thinking or mental activity. So when that goes, or ignorance is attenuated or reduced or become less, your mental activity also slow down and become less. When this happens, you will have less distraction caused by the thinking mind, the mundane mind. Your seeing will become clearer and you will have the ability to see nature as it is, as it really is. You will also be able to see the flow of nature. The moment is arising, means the phenomena is arising, is sustained and flow, leading to cessation, to its cessation. All this you will start to see clearly until it becomes very clear. The three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, and anatta also become very clear. And when you see truth, you will always see. Because truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. The characteristics of nature are there, are always there. And if you see, you will always see. That is why you have to develop this ability to see. Not until you can really develop the understanding through the right seeing or direct seeing, you will not understand all this that I described above. That is the reason why the second turning of the first noble truth states that this dukkha is to be understood. Do not underestimate its importance. Do not think that it's just a first noble truth of suffering and it is not important. It is key to understanding all the subsequent truth, the second noble truth, the third noble truth, etc., and the realization of almost everything. Because through this understanding of the form and mind, you will actually penetrate. You can actually penetrate.